Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, mm-hmm. you know that I'm yep. working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. Mm-hmm. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
mm-hmm. I'll... The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. Mm. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses.
All of these shows have one thing in common. They all talk about this show every week. You know, it's
your
like,
show.
Oh my God. Their shows
they're tuning in.
Are based off of what we talk about.
Like recap.
The trickle down
like,
theory.
Yeah. like your podcast.
You know, not entirely, goodness. But I would say you know, anywhere from 10 to 50% of their content is, you know, Vile Files adjacent.
Just to let everyone know, we have a huge interview coming up this Friday. I know that throughout this podcast, we are going to tell you that we have a Twibbon coming out at the end of the week, but we don't. The end of this week is going to be a massive interview, so we hope you will all join us for that.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and from the opening sounds you just heard... of the great one, mm-hmm. Nick Viall, claiming that all podcasts talk about him for 50% of their material. From that opening quote, we were reminded that we are not meeting our expectations. We talk about Nick Viall for sure. He's an important figure in the Bachelor world, but 50% of our content is definitely not about him.
We've had some episodes where he's only mentioned once or twice. So we're basically trying to rectify that today. And in honor of the great ones, your great ones, royal wedding, you know, really do it justice.
Yeah.
And perhaps do a 100% Nick Viall episode so that we can balance out how we've been slacking off.
Please let this forever be known as the great rectification.
And now for SEO reasons, these are our top 10 Nick Viall moments and not the great rectification.
And these, just to be clear, these top 10 Nick Viall moments are from his whole history in the game. These are the things that we think are the biggest contributions he's made to the culture of Bachelor Nation and to the game itself, the evolution of the game as it now exists. So
are these all in-game?
I don't know. Some of them are not.
I think they are.
But just to the culture at large, there's at least, or maybe they are. Maybe they are all in-game. We'll see.
I think they are.
I think maybe they are, yeah.
I'm wondering if we've missed something from his, you know, parasocial game history. But
of course we have.
I guess that'll have to be another episode.
Yeah. I mean, we're not even talking about the fact that he has the biggest Bachelor podcast in the world, other than maybe Call Her Daddy Now, if you want to count that.
No, we're not. We're not talking about that.
We are, however, starting at number 10, the number 10 item on our list of the top 10 things Nick Viall has contributed to this game. The top 10 Nick Viall moments is in Andy Dorfman's Season 10 of The Bachelorette, Nick Viall won the Fimp Rose. That is correct. He got the first impression rose that night. Huh? What?
I did a little noise and little celebration noise.
Oh, thank you. He came into the game guns blazing. He was immediately a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. This is, in my opinion, the equivalent of Bo Jackson hitting a home run, his first at bat in the All-Star game, baseball All-Star game, in his first All-Star game. There have only been 40.
Of course. Everyone knows about BJ.
Bo Jackson? Anybody in sports does. It was a career cut short by an injury. Way too short. But there have been...
In the baseball.
And football. He played both professional baseball and football simultaneously.
Oh, my God.
I know. About half of the Rose, Fimp Rose recipients make it to hometowns. He accepted the award with awkwardness and sweetness. And he didn't realize it in that moment, but this early success, this early victory gives him, we believe, a high that he is chasing for his entire time in game. This, I think, this Fimp Rose win solidified the notion in his mind that he's going to be in this game for a while. It gave him that taste of what it's like to win. There have only been, by the way, 41 Fimp Rose recipients in the history of our game, I think, if my math is correct.
And at that point, fewer.
Yeah, because we didn't have the FIMP until Jesse Palmer's season 5 of The Bachelor.
He must have known those statistics. We find out during that season that he had watched every episode of Desiree's season. He says all this on camera to the second audience. And I think you're right. It is like the first at bat knocks it out of the park. Mm-hmm. Here he is.
And then he's chasing that dragon for the rest of his time in game. And we'll get to some other things, obviously, that he's done in game. But I really think that Fimp Rose, the first victory, set him up with that idea, like, I have to win this. He is nothing if not highly competitive. We know that from his years as a college track standout. We know that from his years as the...
From being one of 11 siblings.
Yes, the oldest sibling in a brood of 11, having to compete for extra Fruit Loops at the breakfast table, I'm sure.
Yep, I think that's what... Having a big family is mostly about.
I don't know if they ate Fruit Loops or not.
Our number nine, speaking of Fruit Loops. Oh, no.
Nice.
Speaking of bodies of water. No.
Okay.
We got it.
Yeah.
Speaking of history, our number nine top 10 Nick Viall moment is... A joint play between the historic Corinne Olympios boob grab and the Corinne Olympios bouncy house makeout. I think that Corinne, during this group date, she takes her bikini off. She grabs Nick's hands, forces him to grab her naked boobs, Janet Jackson style, in the pool while all the other players are watching. It was such an act of dominance by Corinne, but she ends up winning the photo shoot, gets that group date win. It's a play for time. So these bold moves play off. And we've never seen a bachelor grab a boob prior or since to this moment.
Yeah. And he had to be game for it. Now, we know from all of his podcasting and all of his appearance on various podcasts that he considered himself to be a producer on his season of The Bachelor. This was Bachelor season 21 that this occurred on this group date, photographed by the incomparable Franco LaCosta. It was a bridal group date where all the women had to get in bridal gowns and take photos with him. But we know that Nick Viall supposedly early on recognized Corinne Olympios was a reality star, and so he was doing everything he could to facilitate her good play. It doesn't, this type of play doesn't work if your bachelor says no thank you. Do you think Ben Higgins would have done the double boob grab in the pool? Do you think Ben Higgins would have gone into the bouncy house and allowed Corinne Olympios to mount him while the other players looked on? Absolutely not. Do you think Sean Lowe would have done this? Absolutely not. Chris Soules, would he have done this? I don't know. It's hard to say what he would have done because I don't think he would have been grasping a lot of things happening. But I think it took...
I don't feel like he argued against a lot.
No, but I don't think he argued for things or even understood that he was on a TV show, ultimately. I think that Nick Viall, almost singularly as a bachelor, was able to facilitate a gameplay style like this. I think without Nick Viall as the bachelor in season 21, Corinne Olympios doesn't shine quite as bright because she doesn't get to make these plays because the bachelor's not facilitating.
Yeah, you don't get away with it.
So I grant Nick Viall some credit in the rise of Corinne Olympios through the course of the season. Certainly the producer said keep her around, but he had to figure out how to keep her around, how to make it entertaining.
And make their chemistry look real to justify it. While she's sleeping through rose ceremonies and stuff.
Yeah.
We did not get to the bouncy house aspect of this. Is 1 week instead of a cocktail party, they have a pool party. And Corinne says she has brought in a bouncy house. So we now know that Nick is now saying this was his idea, but basically it means it's producer's idea. They supplied the bouncy house, obviously. Corinne straddles him in the bouncy house and makes out with him, a private party while being in perfect location for the other players to do a peeping Tom on this one-on-one time. It's one of the moments I'll never forget. It's one of Corinne's best moments. It's one of Nick's best moments. And it kind of exemplifies this Nick playing ball because it's the example that he gives. In terms of, you know, him negotiating with the producers, being like, oh, I didn't really want to do that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Hats off to you, Viall, on this one. I do think in many cases, I mean, you look at like Maria Georges. I don't know if she's as big of a star as she is right now without a good bachelor like Joey Grazadé. I think that if you're a certain type of player, it requires a certain type of bachelor or bachelorette to help you facilitate that style of play. And Nick Viall did it here. And speaking of facilitating styles of play, our number 8 item on the list.
Yeah, if she did it to Sean Lowe, he'd be like, I'm sorry, benevolent execution right here.
Yeah, exactly. My Lord and Savior will not allow me to cup your breasts on this group date. My apologies. Then when the brother's like, I think you're a playboy, he could have been like, I denounced breast cupping on the group date. How dare you? But that didn't happen.
Would a playboy have done that? Keeping his hands dry?
Yeah. Why are we giving him a weird Southern accent, Sean Lowe? Doesn't exist.
I don't know.
He's a Kansas boy, I think, right? He went to Kansas State anyway. All right.
Make me a sandwich.
Our next item on the list.
By my couch.
Is number 8.
The pit.
The number 8 most important thing that Nick Viall has contributed to the culture of The Bachelor is the dino dance. He reprised this, if I remember right, but we saw it, I think, for the first time during a group date.
I think it's on BIP first.
Oh, really? Yes, I think you're right.
I think so.
He did it on BIP, and then he reprised it in his season as The Bachelor, Bachelor Season 21, on a group date that was the volleyball date from hell that wound up with everybody crying and not wanting to play volleyball with him. But he began that date on a very light note, doing a dance where he's marching around the sand like a dinosaur. I believe this is...
with tiny little claw hands.
Yeah. I believe this is an homage to Dane Cook. Maybe does this. Some comedian did something like this and kind of popularized it. And then I think Nick Viall took it and ran with it.
Well, if he stole it from Dane Cook, then it probably came from somewhere else.
That's possible. Nice. Good sick burn there.
Roasted. Got him.
Yep. But there are moments in all leads' careers, time in game, where they are doing something funny, something almost at their own expense, making fun of themselves a little bit. And on occasion, these moments can rise to greatness, like we have seen with the Nick Viall Dino Dance. I don't know that we've seen another Bachelor do something quite like this. We've certainly seen other Bachelors dance in various capacities. I would argue this is kind of like Joey Grazia putting on the boots and the shorts for that dance, but not quite.
Mm.
This is a voluntary full edit play style.
Yeah, it's a last-ditch effort to get everyone to have fun. I mean, that date was so iconic because it's just a bunch of like games on the sand. You wouldn't think it would end with everyone in tears, but
they had been pushed to the limit. And I would also say, in comparison to the Grazia Day boots, Joey had no choice in that. They were saying, this is the activity we've got for this one-on-one date. You have to do this. It was the producers kind of forcing him into a full edit. Viall does the dino dance.
Well, I think Joey wasn't forced. I think he was game.
No, of course, he was game, but it wasn't his idea. He didn't say, give me those boots, give me those shorts, look how funny I can be. Viall just came out of nowhere and was like, look, watch me walk around the beach, prance around the beach, really, as a velociraptor. That was his own idea.
Well, the ideas men kept the hits coming with our number 7 most top Nick Viall moment in the, what did you call it? The redification?
The rectification?
What did you call it? The rectification was...
We don't have to call it that.
Him crashing Caitlin Bristow's season and consummating before Fantasy Suites. We know that this has happened before and since. Off camera, out of the document, we have heard this from the Tea and Sauce Wars from various players, but it has never been included in the document. KB having sex with Nick before Fantasy Suites, and she got a lot of slut shaming for it.
And the crashing. To me, it's kind of one and the same. What he was able to pull off in this season with those two things was really revolutionary.
A sex crash.
Yeah, the sex crash. Our number 7 thing is the sex crash. Now, obviously, Caitlin Bristow had to be a part of this in both cases. She had to allow him to crash the season. Mm-hmm. She had to allow him to... She, and I think, even invited him to go back to her room. She was the one who facilitated it. I'm almost positive.
They keep intercutting. I'm watching this scene in the background, but they keep intercutting between them making out with Sean Booth back at the house.
Yeah, just pissed off. They always do that.
It's so good.
But to do this like on camera, you know, like you're saying, in a bunch of prior seasons, there has been a bunch of players have had sex with leads before Fantasy Suites, outside of Fantasy Suites, all of that. But it usually doesn't happen on camera. Here it does. Here they're playing to the camera. They know this is going to be on TV. Viall understands that as he's doing it. So does she. And like you're saying, there was a lot of slut shaming and backlash that came as a result of this. But it simply was a strategy we had never seen before in the document.
Mm-hmm.
And to have those two things kind of against each other, that he crashed the season early and he was able to have a chemistry play sexual encounter before Fantasy Suites. It just, I remember watching it and it just made you feel like, oh, this guy can do anything he wants. Like the rules don't apply to him.
Hmm.
And that was a play style from a guy on The Bachelorette that we had never seen before, that he could kind of manipulate the system to his will. And we obviously saw what happened at the end of that season. He did not win the ring, but continued to manipulate the system to his will, I believe.
Never a ring winner. No. Never first place.
No. Never first place, but a crown. He wore the crown of The Bachelor, as we know.
Yeah. He had to put in a lot of work to get it, but...
Well worth it.
You know, I'll give you whatever you want to make you happy.
Oh, you're trying to compare him to Caitlin Bristow now? She never won a ring.
Didn't need to. She got cast right away.
Then neither did he. What do you mean? I like how I didn't even know what you were doing. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Is she just trying to pull a fast one?
I'm just always doing that.
Yeah,
I'm just always arguing it. The argument doesn't end. We're always in it.
I'm not saying she's not a great player. She is. Like I said, she is one half of these plays that are the number 7 thing on our list. She's a part of them too. A crucial part. I don't think a normal bachelorette allows this kind of stuff. Now, we know that they had you know, they were exchanging some communications before her season. And we know that he was kind of sad when it turned out that she was going to be the Bachelorette. I think he's on record somewhere as saying he wanted Britt Nielsen to win.
She told him they like broke up. Well, according to them, they broke up. And she said, but maybe, you know, come out of the limo. Mm-hmm. Not expecting him to come mid-season.
Right.
It's like, it's hard to rewatch this where they're just, they slut shame her in the edit. They're cutting back and forth between Sean Booth saying, we got to trust Caitlin, guys. And then the closed drawer and hooking up noises.
Yeah. And ruthless. The hooking up noises, supposedly, I believe, if I remember right, Caitlin Bristow herself on a podcast has said those noises with Nick Viall were actually noises that were recorded with her and Sean Booth the morning after their fantasy suite.
Jesus.
I know.
They're like, I think we have orgasm noises somewhere. Let's just give it to this. Let's say it's Nick. He's the orgasm whisperer after all.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
We will get to it. Our number six. We've done goat episodes for Nick before, and this is not that. This is our best moments.
Yeah.
Number six. Top moment. Nick Viall tells Ashley Iaconetti she will never be with Jared.
You're not going to be with him. I'm sorry. You will never be with Jared.
Yes.
Ugh.
Obviously wrong. Obviously incorrect. But there is something so beautiful in this to me. This was in Bachelor in Paradise season 3, I believe, where Ashley Iaconetti is pining for Jared Iaconetti, and Nick Viall shows us the first glimpse in this moment of his acumen, his skill as a relationship expert. This moment spawns all of the Viall Files episodes where he's giving dating advice. It spawns his book, Don't Text Your Ex, Happy Birthday. It spawns his now recurring role on The Matchmaker with Patty Stanger on the CW that I'm watching in Clue's Corner if you want to join me for that. It started here, I believe, in this moment where he's dispensing bad advice to someone else about a relationship that he is not in.
And that he's kind of infamously wrong about as well. Like,
yeah,
these two did end up together. Ashley used this clip in a reel. I don't know if the sound got taken down or what, but she used it in this reel in May 2021 or two to kind of encompass their relationship and be like, look at the hills we've overcome.
Yeah. And just the idea.
She's like the opposite of that book. He's just not that into you.
We also know that Nick Viall famously has said on his own podcast that he never makes quick judgments. However.
Yeah, that's true.
The shooting of Bachelor in Paradise occurs over about 2.5 weeks. So within that time, he was able to at least make this judgment. Call that quick or long. I don't know. That's, I guess, quick and long are subjective terms when you're talking about how much time has passed. But at least within these 2 weeks, he was able to judge that situation so clearly and confidently that he said, you will never be with Jared Iaconetti.
The confidence. The confidence, it's like, it's also knowing what's a TV moment. Like,
yeah,
him, he's facing Ashley. She is doing full tier play, which she's known for, like blubbering. He is stone cold, just being like, oh, you're never going to be with Jared.
And obviously, not only was he wrong about this, the Iaconettis are one of the most successful post-show couples in the history of the game. They have a giant podcast network now that they, I mean, it seems like every other day they're coming out with a new show
they
on it.
Met Tom Brady.
They've got the kids. They've got the,
they have a cafe.
The cafe. They're doing it all. So not only was he wrong about it, it's like they aren't just together. They are thriving. They are flourishing. He couldn't have been more wrong about it. But again, the importance of it in my mind is not just that he was wrong about it. And that is important.
It is funny.
Mark my words. Yeah, that's very important. But the importance really is that I think there's always been this thing in him that is, I'm the guy who knows more about these kinds of situations than anyone. And he has turned that into a giant podcast empire and a book and all of these things. But I think it started here. At least this was the first time I ever saw it in game where he's giving advice to someone else on their relationship. And terrible, the worst advice. And I think that continues now, even to this day.
It's definitely the theme of when he was answering all those Instagram stories that are like dating advice. His advice is always like, that's an F boy. If he wanted to, he would. It's pretty much just that, always.
Yeah.
He hates you.
Yeah, everybody sucks. Yeah, everybody's a horrible pile of shit. Don't date anyone. That's his essential advice to everybody. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the most recent episode of Matchmaker?
Why would you think I've watched any episodes of Matchmaker?
It's a great show. Patty Stanger's amazing in it. This I will say about the most recent episode, episode 4. Uh-huh. In it, Patty Stanger's trying to...
He's barely in it. That's my accurate prediction.
His first minute of episode 4, it's an hour-long program. The first time you see him on screen in episode 4 is minute 30. That should tell you something. But in it, Patty Stanger's trying to help this guy who is an ex-software salesman turned model photographer who only now dates young models. And she's like, this guy's a modelizer. I can't fix him. I'm going to need Nick's help. And so they send in Nick Viall to set this guy straight. They are mirror images. They are the same person. I'm like, how's this guy going to get advice from Nick Viall?
Set him straight on what?
Exactly.
I mean, Natalie's not a model. She's a creator.
Sorry.
She's an artist.
Yeah. I forgot.
I can't watch Matchmaker. I'm still on Traitors. I'm still trying to get through it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good show too. All right. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Our number 5 most important moment that Nick Viall has contributed to the history, the culture of Bachelor Nation is...
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
the role he played in Rachel Lindsay's ascendance to becoming the first black lead in franchise history. Now, I take nothing away from Rachel Lindsay. She has done most of this work. In some cases...
Unlike Brian Abasola.
Oh, shots fired. She did most of the work and deserves most of the credit here. And I think to some degree, whoever was going to be the Bachelor when the franchise made the decision, we're going to have our first black Bachelorette, whoever that Bachelor was going to be a part of this history. It just so happened to be Nick Viall. She comes into season 21. He gives her a fimp, which I think even Rachel Lindsay at this point has said she thinks the producers cast her on that season specifically for this deep run. But nonetheless, Nick Viall gave her a first impression rose, and Nick Viall brought her to hometowns. Nick Viall brought her to fantasy suites.
First black hometowns.
Yeah, she broke a lot of historical records, but Viall had to sell that. He had to act those scenes out with her, and I think he did so pretty believably. If you go back and look at it, the hometown where she takes him to her church and, you know, getting to meet her family, if you remember that. And her sister is also dating or married to a white guy. I can't remember. I think married to a white guy.
Mm-hmm. He said, wait, didn't he say something like,
yeah, he goes, I see that you are a white.
I could see you were a white.
Yeah. So all these funny moments, but, historically speaking, Rachel Lindsay is arguably the most important figure in Bachelor Nation. And she came through Viall's season. He was a piece of it. He was a facilitator for her to do what she would eventually do in Bachelor Nation. And I just think the historical importance of it cannot be overstated, that he was the guy there for it.
Speaking of Rachel Lindsay, I think actually you should do number four. Our number four.
Oh my God.
Top Nick Viall moment is
the beignet. He was on a one-on-one date in his Bachelor season 21 with Rachel Lindsay. They're in New Orleans. Of course, when you're in New Orleans, you gotta eat a beignet. This is a kind of when in Rome style one-on-one date, as we like to call it.
They were in a little parade dancing too.
And what can be said about this? It's just a, you know, maybe to some, an innocuous scene, meaningless in the history of our beloved game, but not to me. The way he...
Number four to us.
Eats the beignet is a sight to behold, to say the least. It is covered with powdered sugar, which most of which ends up on his face and mouth. He's making the kind of orgasmic faces of like, oh, this is so good. If you watch The Bear, they do that.
Yeah, it's kind of future casting to fantasy suites.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. But there's a little bit of...
He's chomping. He's looking at her, making like, oh, grunt noises.
Was he? He was grunting during this?
I'm just looking at the GIF, but he looks like he's grunting.
I just remember him kind of going, oh, yeah, it was a grunt. You're right.
He is like this. He bites into it.
Yeah. I have the audio of it like burned into my brain forever. So you're right. There was a grunt. Bachelors eat all the time. Rarely do they eat something so entertaining. I also, it comes to mind Pilot Pete eating like a hunk of meat and there's like, he's pulling it out and there's like stringy meat and stuff. That was kind of gross.
Comes to mind Ari Lyandike tonguing the bowling ball.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't eat the bowling ball, but he did lick it.
I was thinking of my favorite mouth play.
But he was doing an homage to Big Lebowski. This beignet is something that is kind of always in my brain, just playing on a little loop, him eating it.
Yeah, that's definitely one for the deathbed montage.
It is. But you have to also put yourself in his shoes. These producers are setting him up. He knows he's going to look goofy eating this beignet, and he just goes with it. He just goes with it. You don't believe me?
I guess so. You think they're setting him up?
They say, here, eat this powdered sugar beignet.
To look like a fool?
There's no good way to eat one of these.
Yeah, with your facial hair.
Yeah, they make him eat it with his hands. They're not giving him a knife and fork. To me, just a very comedic moment coming from the great one. And food play is a big part of Bachelor Nation. Whether it's
food and face,
feeding someone food or squirting whipped cream on them or putting an ice cream cone in their face or doing a Halo Top commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Food is important in our beloved game. And this to me is one of the best food moments in the history of it.
This and Ben Higgins is Amanda Stanton date where they serve McDonald's.
Jesus, I'll never forget that. They literally went into a McDonald's and did a like 10-minute McDonald's commercial of them being like, oh my God, McDonald's. I love McDonald's. When I was a kid, it was my favorite place. All this stuff. And you're just like,
yeah, it's great.
What's going on here? Are they literally just doing a McDonald's commercial? Yes, they were.
It was my first solid food, chicken nuggets.
McDonald's was?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
My mom told me.
Interesting.
I still eat them.
Does she have you the cardboard container in a frame somewhere next to your baby shoes?
I wish.
That'd be pretty cool.
Speaking of keeping important keepsakes, our number three top 10 Nick File moment is from Andy Dorfman seeing the Vial Sand Vial on Vial's final date with Andy Dorfman. They go off-roading, picnic at a secret lagoon. He reiterates everything he said to her parents. She'll be his biggest priority. They go to the hotel room for the night, and he says past fears from prior engagement, PTC heartbreak. So this is his third, Joy is his third engagement.
Four. Well, no, second, right?
But he's PTCing about a prior engagement.
Oh, right.
In Dorfman season.
Yes. So he was engaged to a civilian.
Yeah, I think so.
Then he was never engaged to Dorfman, never engaged to Bristow, never engaged to Saviano on his Bachelor in Paradise, engaged to Grimaldi.
Did pick out Sparkler.
From 21. He did pick out a Sparkler, but never used it. And now engaged to, or not engaged to anymore, completely married to Natalie Joy.
Completely married.
So I think he's got...
And child.
Three, yeah.
After he plays this heartbreak PTC, she says it's going to be all right. And he's getting all the signs. So he says, I can't wait to go grocery shopping with you. And he cringles her a necklace. It's a vial on a string filled with sand that he got from the beach where he first told her he loves her, and he made it into a necklace, and they make out.
Yeah, it's a strange-looking necklace, in my opinion. Andy Dorfman says she loves it, but she has to say that when it's given.
I don't think she would ever wear this necklace. No.
I don't think any human being would.
It's a clunker.
Except me.
Except me.
If anybody...
I'll put it right next to my cryo necklace.
I'm just going to say this. If anybody out there has access to that necklace, the Nick Vial Sand Vial, please DM me. I would love to have it for my collection. I do view it as one of the kind of holy relics of that era of our game. Really, of the game generally.
Just give it to us, Fleiss. You don't need it.
You think Fleiss has it? Fleiss wears it.
It's in his like sparkler room with all the other weird... failed Kringles.
I am almost positive if anybody has it, I bet it's Andy Dorfman, and it would be in some box of Bachelor stuff somewhere, you know? She's probably got like some fantasy suite cards and stuff like that in there. I bet it's in a box in Andy Dorfman's garage.
That law degree that she took down from the wall to go on that season. That's technically a Bachelor artifact.
That's what's in the box. What's in the box? Oh, just my law degree and a vial of sand that Nick Vial gave me on our last date on season 10 of The Bachelorette.
One man's trash is another's treasure, which is why you got to just put the feelers out. You never know.
I mean, I'll put the feelers out to anybody. Anybody in Bachelor Nation who has any little artifact from their season that you don't want anymore, or it doesn't quite mean it as much to you anymore, or you got married to somebody who's a civilian, or whatever the case may be.
It's gross. It's bad art. Whatever.
Yes. If you are about to throw these things away, simply don't. Simply DM me, and I will take them off your hands.
Mm-hmm. Clues is building his video studio now, and it's going to be filled with all of his special things.
I have some good special things. At this point, I'm developing a good collection.
Hey, that Tyler Cameron pillow is priceless.
Tyler Cameron pillow, my baseball.
Oh, the baseball.
The one that Charity Lawson gave Braden Bowers on their one-on-one date in historic Bachelorette season 20.
You see that Instagram post Charity made today?
I didn't see it yet. What was it?
Good. It's good. It's just a pic of her on top of Dotton.
I did see it. I did see that one. I thought, you know, I'm also getting caught up in the Kendrick Lamar Drake back and forth. Ooh. With their diss tracks. And so I feel like I'm missing a little bit of Bachelor Nation now.
Catch us up.
Catch you up? Well, we're recording this on Monday. By tomorrow, who knows what will have happened. But essentially, at this point, I believe there are now 5 diss tracks between the two of them that have come out over the course of about a week and a half. They are just firing them off at each other on an almost daily basis. They're all pretty good, I think. Hmm. Some of the Kendrick Lamar ones are like, they're stuck in my head. They're like very catchy, good songs. And I'm starting to question, because of the speed at which these are coming out,
yeah,
I'm starting to question if this isn't maybe some kind of premeditated thing where they already wrote a full album of these diss tracks and they're just releasing them quickly against one another. And maybe it's going to...
Where they call each other pedophiles?
If you're going to go hard, you got to go hard.
Yeah, dude, let's collab on an album where we accuse each other of banging kids. Great.
You never know. Hey, it's working.
Oh my God.
It's the biggest story in music.
This Charity Lawson photo is from 21 hours ago.
So who knows? Kendrick Lamar might have already.
The caption just reads angel emoji, and she is an angel.
Anyway, the sand vial is one of those sacred artifacts that I'm trying to get my hands on. I feel like it's akin to, like, you know how the Vatican has a big store or warehouse full of all these like religious artifacts and stuff. I feel like this is one of those to me.
Like an Indiana Jones?
Sure. Something like that. Hmm. This is my Ark of the Covenant. Please send me the vial, sand vial. I need it.
This is my Ark of the Covenant.
All right. Let's move on. Our number 2 thing on the list of these top 10 takeaways is something Vial said to Caitlin Bristow. You took things from me.
You took things for me.
That was because it was real to me in those moments.
It wasn't that real.
It was.
What I felt for you was greater than a moment.
This line, I'll simply say this. There are many iconic lines, little pieces of dialogue throughout the history of Bachelor Nation. I would say maybe the top on that mountain is Hannah Brown. I did have sex and Jesus still loves me. But to me, our number 2 thing on this list is in the top 5. And our number 1 thing on this list might also be.
They both are.
He said this to.
I think this is my favorite, actually.
You took things from me?
You took things from me. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely like, I mean, you'll see when we get to our number 1 too. Vial is kind of, at least in this era, he was a master of victimizing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Of if he wasn't chosen in the end, which he wasn't twice in a row, he could turn it on a dime with one phrase uttered. In this case, you took things from me. He pulls out a ring, basically, and he's about to propose to her and all this, and she gives him the benevolent execution, or is it benevolent? I don't know. He gets through a whole thing of saying, like, I am in love with you, and I can't, you know, live without you. I can't imagine my life without you and all this. And she lets him down. And then he goes into this little kind of like tirade where he's like, you don't have a ring on your finger. You don't want to be with me. You don't love me. He's saying all this stuff. And ultimately he comes to say, you took things from me. So it's not just you don't love me or you're an asshole for this. It's you've taken something from me that I can never get back.
Mm-hmm.
You've irreparably damaged me. This line, in my opinion, is a victimization play on a level that he didn't really do that whole season.
It's a victimization play that we see for... I would say mostly for ring winners gone awry, like Hannah Sluss.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, she kind of was recreating Hannah Brown's. Yeah. Of,
yeah,
you took this moment from me, my first engagement. Like, I never can get that back.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we know he had an engagement before this, it's like, okay, well, she didn't really take that. So what did she take?
We'll never know. These are secret things that she took, secret takings. But
it's a vial. You took all my artifacts.
She called up Andy Dorfman. Give me that vial. She shatters it in front of him. No, my special sand. I agree with you. I don't know what she took from him. No one really does. She didn't take anything from him. If anything, she gave him entree to become the Bachelor. But part of that was because he was so heavily victimized, or at least he was playing it in that way. And I think that line, you took things from me, kind of solidifies it. This is his second run on Bachelorette. He makes it all the way to the end again and says again this victimization line. Again, we're going to get to number one in just a second, but this is, you're going to see that this is a, it's kind of a play strategy he uses after the dumping to be like, feel sorry for me, audience. And I think it worked because then after he did this Caitlin Bristow season, he goes on Bachelor in Paradise season 3, makes his end run with Jen Saviano, no engagement, but stays on the show for its duration. And then that, of course, leads to season 21 of The Bachelor. Nick Viall is wearing the crown, doing some of these plays that we talked about here with Karina Olympios and what have you, ushering in our first black lead in the history of the franchise, all of it. And I think this line is part of him getting there.
Another line that's part of him getting there is our number one top Nick Viall moment from his playing career. It is from Andy Dorfman's season at the After the Final Rose, at the reunion hot seat between Nick Viall and Andy Dorfman, he slowly gets out this monologue. He's saying, knowing how in love with you I was, if you weren't in love with me, I mean, I'm just not sure why, pausing thoughtfully, sad, like you made love with me.
If you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like why you made love with me. I don't.
Iconic. Iconic.
This to me is probably the number two line of dialogue ever in Bachelor history, right behind Hannah Brown's sex. I had sex and Jesus still loves me. I think you're very hard pressed, other than some historic things like the first uttering of For the Right Reasons.
The Tamsig.
First uttering of the Tamsig. I just think that this line is, it's so perfect in its victimization play. It occurred on After the Final Rose. So it's his, he knows this is like his final moment on screen to get some value out of this season, to maybe be able to come back into Bachelor Nation and obviously ultimately do what he's going to do. But it perfectly painted him in that moment as somebody who was hurt. How could you do this thing to me? You're the villain. I'm just simply
hurt and slut shaming at the same time.
Yeah, it was both. But in that era, slut shaming was a go. That was like a valid strategy.
Yeah.
We know that. Like it happened even in the next season with Caitlin Bristow. We already discussed that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's like a good thing, but that is how that game was played back then. And he did it and it worked.
But I mean, this isn't like, I would say this isn't it's a straw man argument, I guess. Cause I'm just like, what do you mean? You've made love to plenty of people you're not in love with. So this is just like he's scripted this line.
Of course.
And then he's just like slowly doling it out. It's so good.
I will guarantee you, not only did he script this line, he workshopped this shit. We're talking about,
oh, I think he workshopped it with producers. Yeah.
I don't even know if producers, but we're talking about After the Final Rose. So that means the whole season was shot months prior to this. It had all aired. He had watched it all back and he is just sitting there taking notes, going into the lab, figuring out what am I going to do when I go in After the Final Rose? How am I going to pivot this to my benefit? And that line really, I think, is the culmination of everything that he had designed. I bet he was telling this to his friends, maybe his mom. Mom, let me try something on you. How does this make you feel?
His little sister.
How could you make love to me if you weren't in love with me, huh? I guarantee you he was doing that.
I think like one of my favorite things about this line and You Took Things From Me is that they are, we call him a wordsmith in these documents when we're going back. He delivers a poem to Andy's face, which Clues wouldn't let me repeat here, but that was in our list as well.
No, you can repeat it. You can repeat it. I don't care. I just didn't think it was like, it wasn't as grand of a play as some of these other things, so it didn't make the list. But yes, he did write a poem.
We had some runners up.
But even writing the poem.
Giving Raven her first orgasm, that was one of our runner ups.
Well, technically, let's discuss Raven's first orgasm. She has come out and said on a podcast that she and Vial did not have sex whatsoever in their fantasy suite. Yet they cut together a package, the producers did, of her skipping around the town that they were in Finland, I believe, as though she had had her first orgasm, and it's playing a song that's like Walking on Sunshine vibes. It was one of the wildest things that I've ever seen in our beloved game. That said, he had to sell that. He had to keep up the idea that, in fact, yes, he did give Raven Gates her first orgasm in her lifetime.
Did he, or was it just the montage?
No, but I mean, that show comes out and people are like, oh, I'm sure he had interviews where he was asked it and he was like, yep, it was a crazy night. I'm sure that happened. I have no proof of it, but I'm sure it happened. I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure he has ITMs where he's like, yeah, great night.
Yeah, exactly.
Implication.
Yeah, I'm sure he at least implied.
The wordsmith thing also came up with, there was another cocktail party where he delivered a bouquet of flowers to Andy while she was talking to someone else, and it had a little card, and it was just incredible.
Yeah. And that was really like a...
His rookie season.
That kind of play where it basically was at a cocktail party, if I remember right. And like you're saying, she's talking to another guy.
Yeah.
And he comes in and is just like, here's some flowers and a little card that I got for you. Bye. And then he goes off into the night.
No, they're delivered. They're delivered without him.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, I think they're just delivered into the...
Oh, shit. I think you're right. So the producers had to have helped.
Mini date.
Oh, God, what a crazy play. I don't think we'll ever see something like that again. I think the audience is too savvy now.
I don't know. I mean, we see Kringles all the time.
But not like that. That's like delivered by a flower delivery person who just like, hey, is this the right place? Is this the right address? Mansion Boulevard?
I know this is minutia, but now I feel like I need to see who delivered it. Was it Big Polly?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was. We'll go back.
Our other runners-ups were during Caitlin Bristow's season, the one true goat. Nick's rivalry with Sean Booth was so strong that eventually Sean Booth cannot even use Nick Vial's name and refers to him as the other guy.
I mean, that to me...
A beautiful rivalry.
...is like, you want to talk about the psychology of how to play this game. There is no greater example of a person who understands the psychological game of Bachelor better than Vial in that moment. He literally got his rival, Sean Booth, who wound up winning the ring that season, but he went toe-to-toe with him until the very end. He got in this man's head to such a degree, this man would not use his name. He called him the other guy for about the last two or three episodes of that season. That is really rattling somebody. That, in my mind, is complete control over that person. If you can control someone's behavior to such a degree that they are omitting words from their vocabulary, you've done something right, in my opinion.
They're omitting words. I mean, I'm sure he was teamed up with the third audience to do this, but
yeah,
I agree to get under the ring winner, who probably confidently knew he was already the ring winner, to get under his skin anyways is very impressive.
Yeah. And there's a wild, after the final rose, they do a hot seat with Nick Vial and Sean Booth.
Yes.
They make them both sit next to each other and they even joke about that he wouldn't call him by his name.
Sean Booth goes, oh, you couldn't get a bigger couch?
Yeah.
They don't want to sit next to each other. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah, that season was really good. In going back and kind of looking at this top 10 list, I will say this. It did make me yearn for that time again when the gameplay was so off the charts. And I am very hopeful that, I mean, for the guys, for the Vial versus Booth and all the guys like Vial versus Josh Murray and stuff, it makes me yearn for that again. And I think Jen Tran might deliver. I think the guys on that season might deliver. I'm hopeful because what we saw the women do in season 28 was mind-blowing, groundbreaking, et cetera, et cetera. I'm hoping that the producers are going to let these guys in Bachelorette season 22 do what they can do. You know what I mean? Or Bachelor season 21, sorry.
Ooh, sounds like a coach's hopes. You coaching anyone on Dan season?
I have nothing to say. No comment. No comment.
Okay.
Anyway.
Now that we did this, I'm like,
yeah.
We didn't include any Vial Files moments, but obviously, we couldn't get everything in here. The space that the beignet takes up and the little dance. And
no, obviously, he's contributed a lot to Bachelor culture post his time in game. He kind of is the gatekeeper to Bachelor Nation news at this point.
He revealed Griptoria.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Gets the big interviews. Although Call Her Daddy is now taking that spot over, it seems like. At any rate, that's our top 10. Of Nick Vial, everything that he's contributed to our beloved game. We hope you have enjoyed this. Nick Vial, we hope you've enjoyed this. This was a full 100% episode all about you.
This is our wedding gift. We couldn't find the registry to send you anything, so here's our wedding gift to you.
Right.
Our favorite moments.
Yeah. We gave Madison Pruitt a toilet plunger. We gave you a full episode. Mm-hmm. We hope you'll keep that in mind.
100%.
Yeah.
Trying to get that trickle-down theory he's discussing. Yeah.
Absolutely. But thank you, everybody, for joining us for this top 10 Vial moments breakdown. We will be back at the end of the week with This Week in Bachelor Nation. A lot of big news is already happening. And until then, Pace Case, what is that dwab at?
It's been 8,079 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.